Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the Old Testament, from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire and like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene. During the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as it is written in the books of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Let the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Now, it's not well known, but there were a few stand-up comedians in ancient Israel. There was one who really liked to crack jokes about the prophets, like, "Where did Moses go to practice parting a large body of water?" "To the empty sea." Get it? Empty sea. Or, "You know, I never did trust that prophet Jonah. I don't know, there's just something fishy about him." Many children, both boys and girls, often go through a dinosaur phase where they just live and breathe everything and anything about dinosaurs. Now, as a big fan as a child of the Johnny Quest animated series, I went through a pterodactyl phase, which shows how old I am, because they aren't called pterodactyls anymore. They're called pteranodons. And my childhood was also filled with Dino, the family pet on the Flintstones, and the dinosaur atop all of the Sinclair gas stations. And then came the puppet series Dinosaurs, which introduced the phrase, "Not the mama," into the vernacular. And then, of course, let's not forget that my children make comments all the time about my T-Rex arms. Well, it has been 30 years since the first Jurassic Park movie was released, and we got to experience a science experiment gone very wrong, even though they spared no expense. Well, 30 years later, they are still making movies in this franchise about bringing extinct species back to life, and so far, none of the results have been very good. At the beginning of the first century, the people of Israel believed that the prophets of God were basically extinct. Elijah and Elisha had roamed the land 900 years earlier. And then came Jonah and Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And the last was Malachi, about 400 years before the birth of Christ. They were like the dinosaurs of the Hebrew scriptures. They seemed to have been gone forever. But then in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now, John was a rather uncouth, wild-looking individual. He didn't show up in a Prada suit and a Ralph Lauren tie. He wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food were locusts and wild honey. I guess he liked eating organic. Perhaps those prophets were only endangered, not extinct, since Luke tells us that John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had spoken those same words to his generation, prophesying the coming of the Messiah. And if those words sound familiar to you, musical folks, try reading them out of the King James Version, and you find the opening two arias of the Messiah Oratorio by Handel. You know, that's the one that also includes that pretty magnificent hallelujah chorus. Well, Israel may have thought the prophets were long gone, but John proved otherwise. And he came to prepare them to see Jesus as the salvation of God. They didn't have to extract the DNA of a long-deceased prophet and recreate one in a lab. The Word of God inspired John to preach. And he preached repentance and to prepare a new generation for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. That's what John said. "Here is your God." And he pointed to Jesus as the salvation of God. On this second Sunday of Advent, we face the same challenge: to listen for the word of the prophet Isaiah as it comes down to us through John the Baptist, and prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ into our world. And first, we listen for the voice of God, the word of God. In a world full of competing messages, we need to open our ears and our hearts and our minds to what God wants to say to us. I mean, God's word can be difficult to follow, but it is always designed to help us. And this includes the word of Moses, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." The counsel of Isaiah to seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. And the commands of Jesus to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, all of this is meant to help us, not hurt us. Keeping the Sabbath gives us time for rest and renewal. Caring for the poor makes our community a better place, and loving our enemies breaks the cycle of violence and revenge. God's word may be challenging, and it is usually countercultural, but it is designed to maximize our health and happiness. If we are walking away from this word, we need to hear John's call to repent and turn around. And secondly, we need to listen to the prophets, especially Isaiah, who preached on the necessity of practicing social justice, commanding people to loose the bonds of injustice, let the oppressed go free, and share bread with the hungry. He wanted everyone in society to be treated fairly, especially the most vulnerable. He also preached a message of radical inclusion, saying that God's house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now, that was really a very radical change in thinking. I mean, suddenly the community of faith was not limited to the people of the same nationality, and being admitted to the congregation did not require being a part of a traditional family. I mean, through Isaiah, God called for barriers to fall, which began a movement of inclusiveness that only accelerated when Jesus began his ministry. And lastly, we are challenged to prepare people for Jesus, the salvation of God. And this connection between Jesus and salvation is made by John, a messenger in the mold of Isaiah, one who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation. The Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, a noun derived from the verb that means relief in the sense of being rescued from an enemy or trouble or illness. The name Joshua comes from this word, and in Greek, Joshua is interpreted as Jesus. So that's not a big surprise. Jesus literally means salvation. Salvation means rescue from every trouble, including being saved from our sins. We prepare people for Jesus when we are messengers of peace instead of conflict, good news instead of bad news, and salvation instead of destruction. Jesus is the salvation of God, proclaimed by John and by us. And when we gather to celebrate the birth of Christ, we will hear more words from Isaiah. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Indeed, God is with us in every time and place. God speaks a word that is meant to help us, and God gathers us in congregations that should include all people. And most importantly, Jesus is our salvation, saving us from anything that can hurt or destroy us. These are truths we discover when we listen to the prophets, especially Isaiah, and they will never become extinct. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.